Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. The Predators are in Edmonton this weekend. Of course, big win last night for the Preds in Minnesota, taking down the Wild 3-2. Quick turnaround tomorrow night in Edmonton. 3 p.m. puck drop local time. We'll have all of your pregame coverage starting right here at 2 o'clock on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Joining us now is Elliot Friedman, 32 Thoughts Podcast and Sportsnet. Elliot, first and foremost, appreciate you for joining us and appreciate you for being flexible with us yet again. Had a new head coach being announced for the Titans yesterday, so appreciate you for moving to Friday. First and foremost,
Ellen, I have to say, I want to register my official complaint.
Yeah, and that's
protest
fair.
That I got bumped for the new Tennessee Titans head coach.
Put it in the suggestion box.
Hey, I'll take it directly to the suit for you, Elliot.
Yeah, thank you, Derek. You've got more clout than me, so I like that.
Well, first and foremost, Elliot, you know, the Predators taking on Edmonton tomorrow, and I know it felt like, you know, they finally got that proverbial monkey off their back earlier in the season when they took them down 6-1. Because
yeah,
it has seemed like Edmonton is just that team that no matter what just has the Predators' number. But Edmonton has been an absolute heater, and bringing in Corey Perry adds another juicy little element to this storyline as well. What is it about Edmonton that's been able to just kind of put all of these pieces together after a slow start at the beginning of the season?
You know what? I honestly think it comes down to two things, Carolyn. Number one, health. And number two, they're getting saves. At the beginning of the year, Matthias Ekholm, he did not start the year healthy. He missed, I think, almost all of training camp. And when the season started, you could see he was far from 100%. And, you know, he's not a nuclear weapon like McDavid or Draisaitl is, but he's an extremely important player for their team. He's probably, after those two guys, their most important player. And he was not right at the beginning of the year, and their defense was messed up because of it. And then early in the season, McDavid got hurt, and he tried to play through it, but he was far from 100%. And when you're down McDavid and you're down Ekholm, even if they were in the lineup, it really took the team down with them. So I think that was a huge factor. The second thing was goaltending. They were not getting saves early in the year. They had some of the worst goaltending in the NHL. And, you know, it stabilized. Now, Jack Campbell, who started the year as the number one guy, is in the American Hockey League right now. But Stuart Skinner, who was the runner-up for Rookie of the Year last year, he found his game. He's been very good. And Calvin Pickard, who's been Skinner's backup, has been a very good third spot starter, or in football parlance, like a number four receiver, someone who you don't count on a lot, but when you throw the ball to them, you hope they make the catch. He's got a shutout for them last night, and he's been very, very good for them when they needed him. So I see those two things as being a major reason.
And then also we saw Shane Pinto's return as well, the 41-game suspension due to violating the NHL's gambling policies. Where do you see this going? Do you see the NHL maybe going through a more thorough investigation into some players for gambling? Is there going to be clarification on the gambling processes? How will the Shane Pinto suspension maybe affect gambling in the NHL moving forward?
Well, I you know, the one thing that really happened, Carolyn, was when the news came out about Pinto's suspension, there was a lot of talk about what exactly he did. Like, you know, this is not a secret. Athletes gamble. They have golf pools. You never gamble on your own sport, or you shouldn't. You're really dumb if you do. But hockey players, they'll have golf pools. They play fantasy football like everybody else does. A lot of them play fantasy baseball. So people were running out there and saying, okay, what exactly happened here? And, you know, basically what the Players Association did, and I've never been told exactly what it was, but as I've written before, I think I have a decent idea. And also they sent some recommendations out. Like, one of the things I think that kind of happened here was Pinto had an account, a legal gambling account, and he gave his information to some friends who placed some bets on it they shouldn't have. And I think that was like one of the things Pinto had to prove was he didn't gamble on hockey, because if he did, he was a goner. So some of the things they told them about was don't share your account with people. And they talked about other things like don't give away injury information, things like that. Don't bet on hockey, obviously, like anything to do with hockey, not just games, but not even, like teasers or your plus three to score, your plus 300 to score a goal tonight, like nothing. And the other thing I was told, Carolyn, was that there's the players that like players were told, if one of your buddies texts you and says, hey, like the odds are good on you to score a goal tonight, you're basically told to tell them to shut the hell up and stop either being your friend or don't ever do that to me again. Because they can take your phone as part of the investigation. And even if your friends are joking on it, you can get in big trouble. So, and also don't bet illegally. Don't bet like with an illegal bookmaker. Look, gambling money is everywhere in sports. It's not going anywhere, but you still have to be smart about it.
We're talking with Elliot Friedman, 32 Thoughts podcast. Now, Elliot, Corey Perry is coming back. This team has been on the heater. What do you expect from him, and what do you think his role is moving forward?
Well, I saw right now, just before I came on, Derek, the Oilers are practicing right now, and Corey Perry is practicing with the Oilers on a regular line. I think he's on their third line right now, and so looks like there's a chance he's going to play tomorrow. I believe that was kind of always the target, that if he was going to debut, the earliest it could be was tomorrow against the Predators. And we'll find out for sure, but it's looking that way. Look, he's got a lot to prove. I mean, not on the ice. He's a great player, mm-hmm. and he's got a Hall of Fame case. But, you know, he lost his contract this year in Chicago in embarrassing fashion. We don't have a complete handle on what occurred. But, you know, thankfully it was nothing that rose to a criminal element. Nobody needs to see that. But, you know, the Blackhawks went through something very painful a few years ago, and they said, we have zero tolerance on this, and nobody can blame them. Nobody can blame the Blackhawks there. And I'm sure for a little while he was wondering if his career was going to be over. He got the blessing of the league to play again. The Oilers gave him a chance. I have no doubt that he's going to come out and think, I am very lucky for this opportunity, and do whatever he can to take advantage of it. He's still a very good player, Derek. This year, when he played for Chicago, it's not a very good team, but he was effective, so he can still help a team.
Elliot Friedman is with us. Elliot, I want to thank you for the above-freezing temperatures here in sunny Edmonton. This is really nice. Not bad at all for January.
You know what, Willie? If you want, like, I can try to get them to make it worse. Like, is that what you're saying here?
Well, I'm sure you're a man that's got pull like that, even with the weather. So that is quite interesting. And I have to say, I enjoyed your podcast. You and Jeff Merrick did it live in front of an audience over in British Columbia. And you had Kevin Bieksa on. I really enjoyed his take on the Mike Fisher fight. And people should go back and listen to this, because I don't think he's going to win the vote, despite his lobbying. Elliot, when Mike Fisher punched him in the face years ago, and he had the false tooth dangling, which would make for great video, I just think that alone, he's not gonna rewrite history here.
You know, I have to tell you, Willie, he takes that really personally.
Like, I know. You know, well, Kevin, I can tell on the interview.
Kevin, it's so funny. You know, like for example, like he's got no governor, like. You know, I have a limit. Like, we rip into each other on the air, and we rip into each other privately. But like, I have a governor. Like, one thing I will never do. So Kevin played in Vancouver in 2011. They lost the Stanley Cup final in a bitter, hard 7-game series against Boston. It was one of the best playoffs I ever covered, and the Bruins earned it. But it was painful for the Canucks. I will never make fun of Kevin for that. He said I can, but I'm like, no, that's tough. That cuts right to the heart. And but he has no governor. He will make fun of you about anything. And however, when it comes to that Mike Fisher fight, the suggestion that he lost it, he loses his mind. I can't believe of all the things I could rip you about, this is the one that gets to you the most. So I keep doing it.
Yeah, no, it's a smart move. And we did have him on our show. You remember, you referred to this so he could state his case. But I'm sad to tell him he couldn't win over the Nashville audience. But he knew that was going to happen. he does make a good point. It was a lot more even, the full fight, than the one punch.
Yes.
So let's talk about a couple other things. We were in Arizona last week when you guys had that podcast. And, you know, Arizona's playing well. They beat the Predators. They've lost a couple since then.
Yep.
Predators got a big, big win last night in Minnesota. So, but it's an interesting thing unfolding in Arizona. It doesn't seem like there's any buzz or anything in the city that they're on the verge of getting good news about an arena. Now you've got this release from the Jazz owner that wants to bring them, or I presume them, to Salt Lake. What do you think's happening there?
Well, I think there's a lot of pressure on them to come up with something. We had kind of heard, I heard that at the Board of Governors meeting, it was said that we have to have some idea by All-Star break or end of January, and the All-Star break is next week. And, now the one thing I should say is that in the past there have been deadlines and things like that, and they've never gone, and they've passed. Or the deadlines there aren't always hard. But there's no question that the pressure is mounting on them to come up with something. And there have been reports of the possibility of them bidding on a piece of land, but there's no real clarity on when that could be or what that could mean. And, this whole thing with Utah, Utah's going to get a team. There is going to be an NHL team in Utah. And Salt Lake City or suburbs or whatever it's going to be, they are going to get a team. And I think there some of it is pressure, whether it's expansion or they relocate the team there. I think there some of it is trying to put some pressure on Arizona to say, look, we've got another option here, and you have to get going. Now, there's a really good reporter in Arizona, a guy named Craig Morgan, and on his podcast the other day, he took issue with a lot of this line of reporting. But all I can say is that I do feel that the pressure is mounting on the Coyotes to come up with a local solution because they only leased it for another year and it just can't continue past that.
I'm sure it was great theater last night in Montreal with the Canadiens playing against the Islanders who have their brand new coach, Patrick Waugh. What a great storyline that was for the league, et cetera. But we just saw the Islanders come through Nashville recently when they were still under Lane Lambert. So can he spark them, Patrick Waugh?
Well, I think it's that was a really tough one last night. I think Patrick Waugh is a dynamic personality. I think he knows the game. He loves the game. He's got the fire. Think of the most passionate athletes that you guys all loved watching or seeing, and he's right there. When I was a kid, Patrick Waugh basically broke into the NHL when I was 15 years old, and he became one of my favorite players. I just love the fire and the ability. And, there's no question the Islanders were a bit flat, and he was going to wake them up. But, I watched that one last night. A huge ovation for him. The building is going crazy for him in Montreal where he played. And they come out and they fall behind 3-0 in the first 10 minutes. And that's tough. That's really tough. I think not only has he grabbed great passion, but I think he really knows the game. He really does know the game. But right now, you asked me, can they spark him? If you can't be sparked that last night, that's a big challenge. They were down 3-0 and they tied it, but they lost in regulation. He's obviously got a big job there, Willie.
The Predators have 3 games left before they take their hiatus. They've got the juggernaut tomorrow and the Oilers. Then they go to Ottawa, which has been an interesting story. Then they've got the Kings at home before they take the break. And the Kings are really in an interesting spot. The Predators were able to beat them last week in L.A. They meet them again. And all of a sudden, they look like they're kind of stuck, almost like the Oilers were earlier this year. I look at their team, and I'm thinking there's no way they can just fall off a cliff here. But tell me what you're seeing.
Well, I'm surprised at what I'm seeing. I think that they're a lot better than they're showing. And also, like, they're imploding a little bit. You know, Drew Doughty, very critical of his teammates the other night, or some of them anyway, and Todd McClellan basically saying that, you know, we played like idiots and that's why we lost the game. I'm shocked at what I'm watching. They're better than this. One of the things that's going there is Pierre-Luc Dubois, who they traded for from Winnipeg last summer. They thought he was kind of the final piece of their puzzle. They gave him a massive contract, 8x8+. And he just hasn't been there every night. And I said on the podcast today, like, he's one of those guys that when he's great, but when he's not, he isn't. And he does have the reputation for taking a lot of nights off during the year. And when you're one of the highest paid guys, you can't do that anymore. Sometimes you can hide deeper down a roster or deeper down a salary, but when you're now one of the highest paid players and you're a big acquisition, the final piece of the puzzle, you can't do that. And he's really struggling right now. He has to deliver more often. I that's one of the key things I'm seeing there. I think a lot of their other guys have played pretty well. I also think the other thing is Kopitar, who's their captain and their longtime center. I think he's playing pretty hurt. I shouldn't say that. I think he's been bothered by something. Like, I watch him play and he just doesn't look like himself. And he's not a guy who takes nights off. He's got to be bothered by something a little bit.
The Kings have some tough games against Central Division teams before they take the break. Elliot, before we let you go, we're sizing this up every day. That was a spicy win last night. Feisty game, couple of fights. It almost spilled over after the game was over between the Predators and the Wild. But you've got this pack of like six teams, and there really might only be one spot available to them. Maybe two if the Kings keep faltering. But as we just talked about, they're better than what they've shown here. But how do you size up the Predators as they move forward here? It looks like one day they may never score again, and then all of a sudden you're like, wow, Saros is playing well, and they a big win.
We've had this conversation a little bit this year. I mean, the toughest thing for you guys is the math, right? You're at 53 points going into tomorrow's game, but you know the Kings have three in hand, the Blues have two in hand. The Coyotes have one in hand, but you know, the one thing I really give you guys credit on is like you put those teams in position where they have to win those games. Like, it's not like you're all tied in points and you're sitting there saying, holy smokes, if St. Louis gets one, we're in trouble, or Arizona gets one, we're in trouble. No, they have to win. And that, I think like there's been a lot of times this year where I watch the Predators and I said, okay, this is the game that they fall off the cliff, and they never do. I got a lot of respect for what's happened with this group this year. I'm really curious to see what Tross is going to do here, because he's going to have some options. And I like when Barry comes on your station and decides, you know what, I'm going to give people something to talk about today, because I go back and I listen to all those hits and he's like, yeah, there's some things I could do. And then but he doesn't give you much more than that. He just wants to see like the Predator Twitter fans tire fire that he creates out of it. I'll tell you this. I think he's got people calling about some of his defensemen. We know it's extremely unlikely he's going to move Saros. He'd have to be blown away. But I think he's got some guys calling about some of his defensemen. And I think he's going to have the opportunity to say, do we want to keep them or what do people offer me? So I think he kind of likes being in that position.
Barry Trotz is an open book. I will give him that. And as a radio host in this town, I very much so appreciate that from the general manager.
Yes.
Elliot Friedman, 32 Thoughts Podcast and Sportsnet. Elliot, appreciate you as always. We will take up your grievances with the suit and we'll chat next Thursday.
I got to tell you, the only thing I care about is one of my favorite players to watch in the NFL is Derrick Henry. Is Derrick Henry going to be a Titan next year? Is he coming back?
I don't think so.
I don't think so. I am bringing back Derrick. But this was a heated discussion earlier today, Elliot, that you may have just opened a can of worms here.
Oh. Because, you know, I grew up, I loved Earl Campbell. Mm-hmm. Like, Earl Campbell was one of my favorite players. And he is the closest thing now to Earl Campbell. So I'm a huge fan.
You and a whole lot of people in this town, Elliot. Elliot, appreciate you. Have a great weekend. We'll chat next week.
All right, guys. Take care.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thanks, Elliot. Elliot Friedman, he is the very best. Coming up next, we'll get back into your phones. And we will also preview the NFC and AFC championship games, our official picks for the weekend. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, we are brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.